And we keep things rolling here on the Sports Cubicle. I'm your host, Mike Mercado. He's the one. He's the only. He's Devin Tingle, and we are here to break down the entire fallout of WrestleMania week at WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia, in the Link, where two nights of the biggest events in sports and entertainment occurred that ended with the story being finished, Cody Rhodes beating Roman Reigns. Devin, it was, I believe, a really fun WrestleMania weekend. They are now calling this the Triple H era, the Paul Levesque era, whatever it is. It felt like on Sunday night specifically, the end of WrestleMania, that a season finale happened. A story was told. Many stories came together for one moment, and I think the word payoff really does have its justifiable use in this scenario. We got a great payoff, and I enjoyed WrestleMania Night 2. We're going to break down the entire night of WrestleMania Night 2 and the entire WrestleMania weekend. So before we get to the actual main event, how it ended, let's start from the beginning. Your thoughts of WrestleMania in whole before we break down more specifically things that happened throughout the two nights.
I mean, I'm hearing a lot of people having mixed reviews about the matches as a whole. I mean, you know, every WrestleMania has got a few stinkers. You know, yeah, I go to the bathroom every now and then, and I hate to tear people down that way. But I mean, overall, this was a pretty servable WrestleMania. You know, we've been fans for a while. We've sat through some really garbage ones, Mercado. But, you know, we definitely had some, you know, we had a lot of good solid matches. We had really good storytelling. And, you know, we had the biggest story in wrestling in probably years, let's be real here, with Cody, The Rock, Roman. It's just all kind of, I see all come together here. So, I mean, WrestleMania, this is a pretty good WrestleMania, if I had to say so. I mean, better or worse than last year? Well, that really depends.
Everybody's going to have their favorite WrestleMania. The IWC, also known as the Internet Wrestling Community, for those who aren't in the know, that know all the nuance and niche words that are used with the fandom. Not even with the fandom things, the wrestler terms they actually use when they use the word jobber and being buried. You know, it just so happens that we really don't know how to use those words the proper way as fans. But every WrestleMania has their own vibes, has their own emotion, has their own payoffs in those situations. And you can see the fingerprints of who were in charge of those matches, what era we were in, what the vibes were of that time and in place in history for the company. And this was the first WrestleMania that felt like there was not a gorilla on the shoulders of the entire event. And even if it was unspoken, Vince McMahon was always that. Whether it was great like WrestleMania 30 or any bad one that you could think in between, you could always feel Vince right there. You can always feel that old way of thinking. This one felt like the fandom and the creators, the bookers, the producers, the creative team. Everybody was in sync. We all may have had different opinions of how we got there, different type of ways, hypotheticals, and scenarios in which we got to this very moment right here, these story beats. But I think this is one of those rare times where the end goal was the same. And we got to that point. And I think that in itself is great storytelling. It's something you look for in movies, in books, in music, hell, even in sports. I think that's what makes wrestling such a beloved form of entertainment. And it is kind of growing back and making its way back into the pop culture zeitgeist in 2024. So why don't we start at WrestleMania Night 1? This is the one I think most people are divided on, our most critical on. There was a lot of things going on in that night of Night 1. So I don't think we need to necessarily go beat for beat every match that happens in either one of these nights, right? I think it's just good to give the flowers. If you want to watch Night 1 and Night 2 of WrestleMania, God bless you. Watch it on Peacock or internationally on WWE Network. This is about, just like when we talk about sports, you and I are professional wrestlers. Even whatever combat practicing we've ever done, we know what it feels to take a bump on the mat, but not on a wrestling mat in the biggest stage after years on tour or on this circuit that you're going on. So more about the vibes and what we felt watching these matches and what the internet was thinking about it. Night 1, I think what I took note was Rhea Ripley's a star, absolute star, and Becky Lynch passed the baton. You're seeing the next generation. The four horsewomen have a lot of life left in them, but we are seeing the next main eventers in the generation of main event women superstars in the Triple H era coming up. Jade, Bianca, shout out to Naomi, but Jade and Bianca are superheroes. Mm-hmm. They are, again, you're talking about next level. And in the main event, The Rock still has it. That was a movie. If people were going to give Stone Cold Steve Austin all these flowers for taking a back suplex and hitting the ring post and going 30 minutes with Kevin Owens, but not give The Rock, who took a back suplex and took a bump on a table and took bumps for Seth Rollins and didn't lean on Roman Reigns
That's
for...
debatable.
for the way everybody thought he was and didn't come out injured. I think people are being disingenuous. I think that was a showing of a 51-year-old who cared, a guy who's as close to being a multi-millionaire who has all these different things in his portfolio, balled out. For a sports term. Again, it's everybody's opinion, and we're getting it to yours for these big points of WrestleMania. But that was my general takeaway from night one of WrestleMania. Because everything else, that six-team ladder match, how do you make that good? It's just too chaotic. It's just...
That's what's fun about it.
See, and this is the philosophical difference of how you enjoy that. And to me, it's like, how do you make any of that make sense and not look ridiculous? Even if I like the winners, just the nonsense of it. And then you have the Jay and Jimmy match, who it just felt flat. And it might have been just everything together of Saturday night one being so cold. And the tag team match with Dom, Rey, Andrade, and Santos. You know, I'm all about that. Like, to me, that match had all the makings of everything I wanted. And again, fell flat emotionally and through the vibe. Shout out really fast to, I think, the best match of night one, Gunther and Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn wins the Intercontinental Championship. I think that was the best wrestling match of night one. I think the best, most entertaining thing was the main event of night one. But I think that was the best wrestling match.
I think the ending was anticlimactic. That's just me.
That is my takeaway from night one.
I definitely agree that night one, the weather probably did play a factor, because as I was reading on Twitter, or X as it should probably be called, a lot of people are like, man, this crowd is so dead. I'm like, they're probably freezing their ass off. What do you expect? They're going to be dead. It's a really cold dang show there. And of course, you know, the first match, I lost count how many times Pat McAfee mentioned that Becky Lynch had strep throat this week, because my goodness, that was definitely a lot here. I agree with you that Rhea Ripley is a star, but we kind of knew she was that star. She has all the potential. The fact that her main event was against Nia Jax at the
Elimination Chamber.
Thank you. That was a slap in the face. You should have had someone much better put on a better match here. And the rumor is Becky and Seth are going to take some time off, so it makes all the sense in the world to have Rhea Ripley go and kind of do that. I thought for sure she was going to face Jade Cargill this year's WrestleMania, but what the hell do I know?
It might be next year.
Yeah, give it time. But yeah, the ladies really stepped out this year, had very good performances. I could tell that, you know, Damage Control versus Jade, Bianca, and Naomi had to be cut short for reasons. Jimmy and Jay, it should have been no DQ. It should have been a cage. It should have been last man standing. I definitely think the match needed something along those lines, because it was so just flat Mercado.
And it's funny, they had a better match to 15 seconds they were on in night two that we'll get into a little later than they did the entire, when it comes to like the emotion I think everybody wanted going into it. That one spot kind of was what everybody wanted.
And I thought I was going to, yeah, we'll get that, because I got
a lot of stuff
to say there, yeah. Too. And then going for the main event here, it's funny when you say that The Rock did not have to rely on Roman, but he very much did when you actually look at it from a wrestling match, because let's take a look. Who was the legal man for about a good 90% of the match?
I disagree with that wholeheartedly. If you and I were to sit here in the 40-minute match that happened, The Rock was in that match,
but he
just
was
as
not
much
tagged
as Roman.
In. He was doing all those. Remember when he said, he's like, you count me out, you're fired?
I mean, whether or not he was the quote-unquote legal man in a scripted situation doesn't take effect that he was active and taking bumps entire time he was in that match.
I agree with you. But he was moving slower than Eloy Jimenez in a lot of these situations here. He's definitely slowed down in age here. I'll give him that. He's better than Austin was last year. And Kevin Owens is one hell of a performer who knew how to, you know, make
that
work.
But I thought Austin was great last year. Yeah, like, and I'm going to let you go in, but, like, because I know I can already hear the comments and everything from the way hardcore WWE fans, like, the craziness of them, their argument is going to be, we don't need to see Young Bucks, AEW, move, never sell, never tell a story. I think I could see your point where you would like a little bit more mobility in your main event. You would like a little bit more speed. But we know that this main event was not about mobility and speed. It was about telling the story of whether or not Bloodline Rules was going to happen in the final boss.
Yeah, telling the story by The Rock throwing a trash can at Seth Rollins. The thing is, I was very worried about that match at first, because at the beginning it felt like every other Roman Reigns match, super freaking dry. Because Roman Reigns matches, I hate to compare him to Cena, but it's like very dry, very boring. He's going to start destroying the guy. Oh no, they're getting a comeback. LOL, Roman wins with, like, you know, one spear, maybe two. And it definitely gave that vibe at the beginning. But, you know, once they started going outside the ring, and it was, you know, he had Cody and Roman on the ramp, he had Seth and The Rock in the crowd, definitely kind of changed the whole thing up. And that's where the momentum of that match really shifted. And it went to more, you say telling a story. I went to, no. Bloodline Rules is already happening now. And I'm so happy that there was no Jimmy, there was no Jay, there was no Solo in that match. Mm-hmm. I'm like, finally, we're doing something different here. And the tag match overall was really damn good. It's like, you know, people who say Roman can't carry, I'm like, you need to shut the hell up right now. Because, yes, you love The Rock. Yes, The Rock gave it his all. But if this was Rock versus Seth, it probably would not have been as good of him.
I'll even say this. If it was Rock Roman like everybody wanted it to be, it wouldn't be this. Because of all the participants, it's peak Cody. It's peak Seth. It's peak Roman. We're talking about the three best in the industry, and that's no disrespect to anybody else. You can talk about Will Ospreay, you can talk about Bryan Danielson, but in this world, in this context, talk about the three best amongst a ocean full of sharks that are great. And like you said, we're gonna give Roman his flowers in a little while, but that idea that Roman was there, Roman wasn't using The Rock as a crutch. He showed out. He had his emotional moments. He and Seth Rollins, always a great performer. And that's why I'm with you. Like, whatever your opinion is of the individuals themselves or what you want or what we imagine as fans, right? Like, how we would prefer things to happen. What we got in that main event, I thought delivered as much as they could.
Oh, it was a great main event. It was the second longest main event in WrestleMania history, if you exclude something that happened in Montreal.
We're going to talk about that. So let's go into night two of WrestleMania here on the Sports Cubicle. He's Devin Tingle. I'm Mike Mercado. And night two had a totally different vibe. Obviously, the warmer weather, I think the sunshine. The fact that this is the biggest word I have to describe night two of WrestleMania, urgency. There was a sense of urgency in all the stories being told of WrestleMania night two. And it started with a hot start to a hot match, a great angle, a great finish, a great outcome as Drew McIntyre beats Seth Rollins, gets into an altercation, a physical altercation with CM Punk and Damian Priest. Cashes in Money in the Bank to become the new World Heavyweight Champion. Devin, I want to read this tweet that I sent out after that match happened, okay? The greatest WrestleMania opening since WrestleMania 30. A great match, awesome moment for Drew, great showing for Rollins, Punk is back, and Priest walks away champion. WrestleMania 40 Sunday needed this beginning, and it involved all major players that are going to be involved in that storyline moving forward. It gives Seth an out and an in when he comes back. This was awesome booking. This was an awesome temple setter. Shout out to everybody involved. I love the beginning of night two of WrestleMania. What did you think about the way WrestleMania Sunday started?
Well, I think it was one. I think it's hysterical. The middle of the match, Drew McIntyre grabbed his phone and tweeted, "Bored at work, LOL." The first match between Drew and Seth, it had its moments, but at times it definitely kind of, you could tell Seth was still like, it's kayfabe or not, you have a match like that with The Rock, you're going to be feeling a little sore the next day. And I could definitely kind of tell that with Seth Rollins. Again, Seth and Becky are taking time off. Drew has been carrying that feud. Drew built himself. He deserved that 5 minutes and 18 seconds. He lasted longer than Roman Reigns did with his first title reign. But
that's hilarious that he did have a longer title reign than Roman's first one.
3 seconds, but they mentioned it, so I thought it'd be funny. And then I did think it was weird. He's like climbing on the table to look at CM Punk. And of course, when CM Punk dropped him, that's kind of the moment I knew. I'm like, there's the cash in. And of course, it was a little weird. I'm like, so they're going to make us believe that a couple of kicks, a drop and a couple of kicks from CM Punk's going to make Priest successful, and then you see Priest smack Drew with that briefcase upside the head, and then it was the quickest. Like we've seen so many cash-ins. I think this was the quickest like cash-in match, probably.
Definitely amongst the quickest, and I think it again gives Triple H and the creative team a little bit of goodwill of what they might be doing with Money in the Bank, because there was so much confusion about it. And obviously we know the poor booking of that storyline, whoever has that briefcase, whoever is in that storyline over the years. And for this to be the payoff, and we know how much the creative team with Triple H love Judgment Day, and for them to end the night with the Women's World Heavyweight Championship and the Men's World Heavyweight Championship, that is booking 101 again of Triple H. Like, oh, okay, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, Judgment Day's cute now. They have matching titles here. But, I mean, I I've been saying this, Priest deserves that belt because Absolutely. How many L's did that man take to Bad Bunny? And that's not a stab at Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny goes out there and puts out his all and puts out matches better than some of the guys that are there 365. But Roddy Piper said it best. He's like, I refuse to lose cleanly to Mr. T because he's not a professional wrestler. And at the end of the day, we all know the celebrities are never going to lose unless it's, you know, team celebrity versus team celebrity. Right, they've done that before here. But again, Damian Priest, he was involved in that stupid zombie match during the pandemic. He had all those L's to Bad Bunny. He put on great matches. You know, him and Bad Bunny worked so well together. Hence He's why they had so many money matches together. And quite frankly, Damian Priest, Judgment Day, I love factions, but we can agree Judgment Day has been a very up and down sort of run since they've started here. Kind of like Raw's version of the Bloodline, just a little bit different here. But I cannot think of a guy more than Damian Priest who deserved to walk out of WrestleMania with that title. No offense to Drew McIntyre. You gave it your all these past few months, but Priest has been really putting it off. And then the thing that I will gripe, I know it's for kayfabe, but when Drew won, he didn't really... He kept saying, I wanted to win this because I never got to win it in front of a crowd. And the first thing he does is walk over to CM Punk. And I get it, story. But, you know, at least try to enjoy your moment. You know, go for 6 minutes and 34 seconds.
I think that's actually really interesting you bring that up, that some of the main characters in this storyline of the whole WWE universe going into WrestleMania, two of the main characters, their hubris in Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns, cost them. At the end of the day, them not being able to get over past trauma cost them. And now you're at the ending where Damian Priest walks away as World Heavyweight Champion and he's most recent Puerto Rican World Heavyweight Champion. That is how WrestleMania started.
Yeah, third man to hold the belt.
And just throughout the rest of the night of WrestleMania 40, I think that Philly Street Fight was fun. Awesome. Shout out to them. That was built to be... a death match in all the term and all the ways you think of it. That was going to be a match that the fans were going to turn on. And Snoop Dogg was great on commentary. The fan base was great. And the match delivered in a lot of fun spots. It was that is how you do a Crash TV quick garbage match that everybody enjoys. And it doesn't overstay its welcome, opposed to the ladder match last night, in my opinion. So I thought that was fun. We don't have to break it down in a silly match, but I think they showed out. Shout out to them because they had no business having as good of a match as they did.
Yeah, I will definitely agree with that. Looking into WrestleMania, I guarantee this is probably the match I'm like, I'm going to go take a dump during.
And people were going to take a dump on, and they didn't because they delivered. So shout out to all of them involved in that one. Shout out to AJ Styles and LA Knight. Had a banger of a match.
Yeah, they were supposed to open the show originally. I'm so glad they, you know, flipped it and had Seth versus Drew. But, I mean, it just goes more to show AJ Styles can pull a good match out of anyone. That's not a stab at LA Knight. But we've definitely seen that LA Knight, when you put him with main eventers like the Elimination Chamber, his flaws start to get shown a little bit. And, again, I have no disrespect. Yeah. He's very talented. I guarantee if they worked him a little bit more, he would totally be up there in that main event status that everyone wants him to be. But, you know, AJ Styles had a great match with Shane McMahon, of all people. That should tell you something, that he can pull it out of anyone here.
I think that's important, too, right? If LA Knight's going to hang with the main eventers, he needs to be able to hang with the best worker of the main eventers in AJ Styles. Yes. And the biggest stage, he did. So shout out to him. And who knows what the future holds for LA Knight. And, you know, AJ Styles is a fixture now in WWE. Has been in WWE just as long, if not longer, than he was with TNA, which is crazy to think at this point.
I mean, I picture him as I think AJ Styles, it's WWE guy. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. He did have a stint everywhere else before here. It's like, it's hard to believe he just showed up, what, 2016, 15?
Yeah, 15, 30, maybe right around then. That's in a Royal Rumble. And everybody knew who he was, never being a guy who came into WWE as the AJ Styles we knew. So shout out to them. They delivered big time. And then again, if you doubt him, you're crazy. But Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, hell of a match. You know, hell of a match. I thought they did great things. And Logan Paul walks away with the United States Championship. Fun moments, fun spots. I think this was a showing that Logan Paul is going to be a mainstay for WWE for a very long time. Bayley, the Royal Rumble winner for the women's side, beats Io Sky for the WWE Women's Championship, and I thought that was a great match. They had a banger, and now the second Latino, in her case Latina, to be world champion of Night 2 of WrestleMania that was crowned. So what did you think about that match?
I mean, the whole thing is Bayley versus Io is a match that the whole storyline I felt very bad for because it was definitely overshadowed by The Rock just in general. I mean, that because remember the original plans were they're going to main event night one, but of course, how are you going to tell The Rock, yeah, you're going to be the second to last match? And no offense to Bayley or Io, do you want to follow that up?
It wouldn't be fair to them, right?
Yeah, it would be such a terrible idea here. And I mean, the storyline as a whole, I definitely have my issues with it because it kind of, in the beginning, felt very Mean Girls, high school drama, like, oh, we don't like Bayley anymore. And I mean, once Dakota Kai started, you know, once Dakota Kai got mixed in that flip, that's when it really started to pick up there. But I mean, it's just, both women were very good performers. They had a very good match here. And it seems kind of like, whereas we saw Judgment Day get all the wins, Damage Control got hit with all the losses. And I mean, that's common when you have factions in the WWE, especially at a WrestleMania. They're going to have a night where they all crap the bed, so to speak. I know for years the Bloodline never did that, so we're not used to things like this happening. But I must say that I feel these are two phenomenal ladies who put on one hell of a match. Would it have been nice to see them in a main event? Yes. Do I feel like the main event might have changed the match as a whole?
Maybe.
Maybe an atmosphere, but I think they would have still gone out there and give it their all and put on the same performance they had here. I mean, definitely a very serviceable match. And it's just so nice to see. I mean, I know this was over 10 years ago, too, but like from where women's wrestling was your bathroom break match. Yeah. To go out there and see two ladies who gave it their all. And I must say that my favorite part about WrestleMania with the ladies, they always like put on like these really cool special outfits. And I know Seth had grand entrances too, but they're always the ones who seem to really go all out with their entrances and their attire. And it's so fun to see. Cause it's like, it's just like, even before the match starts, you see, this isn't, you know, a Hell in a Cell. This isn't a Friday Night SmackDown. This is Wrestle Bleepin' Mania.
To our main event of WrestleMania weekend. Of WrestleMania Sunday, Cody Rhodes versus the WWE Universal Heavyweight Champion, Roman Reigns. And this match had everything from the work rates to the story, to the payoff, the emotion, the cameos, the nostalgia. WrestleMania 40 ended in one of the biggest moments in pro wrestling history as Cody Rhodes finished the story. We could talk about the match and we could talk about star ratings, what it's going to go down in history with. We could talk about everything that happened Saturday night. We could talk about the interaction like we did of Jimmy and Jay having their WrestleMania moment going through the stage onto that table. We could talk about the callbacks of Solo Sikoa giving him the spike and trying to replicate what happened at WrestleMania 39, but Cody overcoming that, and the return of John Cena to exercise his demon of Solo Sikoa, who took him out months ago with thousands of Samoan spikes. After he takes Solo out, that money shot of The Rock's Final Boss music hits, and John Cena realizing in moments in the universe of what this is about to mean, gets in the ring. The Rock, Final Boss Rock, strolling down that long ramp, looking only the way the Final Boss can look. Face to face with one of his arch nemesis, gives him a rock bottom. You hear Sierra Hotel, India, Echo, Lima, Delta. And you don't see the walk down the aisle of Seth Rollins. The Rock about to attack Cody Rhodes. And what do we hear? Not glass shatter, but a gong. And Undertaker appears.
Are we sure it was Undertaker, not Mark Galloway?
Might have been either or. Might have been the American and Badass. But a choke slam and disappears go the legends. But you see the ghost of Roman's past in his face. And he makes a choice to give back, to make Seth Rollins pay for his past sins. And with one mighty chair shot in the back, takes out Seth Rollins. With one block of a spear and three crossroads, Cody Rhodes finished his story. Your thoughts of night two's main event?
Holy hell. It was, again, it started off like every other Roman Reigns match, and I was getting worried. It's like, oh, it's that slow start here. And the moment Solo came out, I'm like, not like this, not again. And then I see Jimmy and Jay, and they have that, what, a minute and a half, if even, of them just beat. The thing that drives me crazy is, you know, Jimmy's out there to, you know, beat the crap out of Cody. Jay comes out and feels the need to dance at the entrance ramp for a little bit. He was literally dancing. I'm like, you're trying to save Cody, run! And then, you know, they you know, throw each other off the ramp. It's a lot of fun. And it's one of those things where it just, it made up for their night one match being pretty lackluster here. The thing is, when the Shield music hit, you know, you see Roman and The Rock looking at the crowd like, I'm waiting for it. And for some reason, Mercado, for some reason in my mind, I thought we're going to see the return of Dean Ambrose somehow, some way, despite him being under an AEW contract. But it would have just been cool to see. And again, I kept saying, everyone wanted the shattering glass in Austin. I wanted the shattering glass, and you see 24 Karat Productions pops up on the screen.
Oh, that would have been great.
I know.
That would have been great.
I heard Dustin Rhodes was backstage.
He was there. There was a picture of him.
They wouldn't let him come on TV.
Of course.
Come on, Tony. Tony Khan already hates me. What the hell's wrong with you, Tony? Get this out. Get your head out of your ass. Let the story be told the way it should be. God, now I sound like Richie Z. Moving on. It was one of those things just so, like, that was the thing. And the moment the bloodline, you know, I'm like, that's all we're going to getting. I know so many people said, you know, Cody was going to have his, what they called the Cody Rhodes Avengers on social media. I think that's cheesy and silly.
There were some great videos and memes made, though. Shout out to the internet for that.
I did not expect John Cena to come back. And just when John Cena came out there, it's like, it makes sense. He's, you know, Solo took him out. Before that, I think his other match was against Roman Reigns. It definitely made sense that John Cena's like, you beat all my records, I'm going to help end what you're already setting here. And it was just so cool to see the attitude adjustment. I always want to say the FU, but we have moved on into a PG because FU's not PG enough for anyone anymore.
Wait till Netflix.
Yeah, wait till Netflix. And it was just one of those things. And, of course, The Rock, when that music hit, I thought we were getting a match inside a match. I'm like, these two are going to just start beating the living hell out of each other. Again, they're both older. I don't like seeing John Cena with his thinning hair. It's hard to see. Come on. Keeps hair today, gone tomorrow. There's something for you, John. Brian Urlacher has hair again. You can do something to fix that. And I get that The Rock hit them with a rock bottom because it is final boss Rock, as you've said. It's like he has to be strong even against the GOAT that is John Cena. I, to this day, will never know why The Undertaker showed up. I mean, some people say that they thought it was originally supposed to be Brock Lesnar, but we all know that thing.
Brock would have gone against Gunther if that was the case.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's like that's where I disagree with that whole
thing. In universe, down the rabbit hole, the excuse people are giving for why Undertaker was there is who beat Undertaker at WrestleMania after Brock Lesnar? Roman Reigns. And what did Roman Reigns say the Monday after saying after
beating
him?
This is my yard.
This is my yard now. So if you want to dig beyond, you know, obviously they just couldn't get Austin, you can find a storyline reason from season one of how this happened in season nine.
But going so far back, because since then, I think he had another Saudi match, and he had that match against AJ Styles.
Oh,
the thing is, Undertaker says he doesn't go to shows because he does not. He knows he'll want to start wrestling again, but he always wants to go on a high note. I love Undertaker, but that Boneyard match, that's the best we're going to get out of him. We needed it. It had to be cinematic. The only man who benefited from the pandemic, well, one of the few. But
well, I mean, think about it. WrestleMania 40 ending with, if it couldn't be the glass shatter, but it being the Undertaker gong.
Yeah, I know people call Shawn Michaels Mr. WrestleMania. I don't know why he's lost at more of them than he's won.
Performance.
Undertaker, though, yeah. If you exclude the past, I'd say 10 years, give or take, he had the best match, one of the best matches at WrestleMania every year. Pretty much every year after Punk is when they started getting kind of wonky, and that just comes with age there. But again, the whole, I understand it was weird that he was in like just regular street clothes, like how he dresses normally. And it was kind of funny. You could tell the lights are out because it took him that long to walk down there.
Yeah.
I'm curious how long it took him to walk back because they were not out again but then, because it was funny. I'm like, oh, The Undertaker and The Rock disappear, but then the match, see Rock just standing there.
I was going to say, so yeah, they, yeah.
There was, but again, it's just like the moment you hear that gong, no matter how old you are, I jumped up in my chair. I'm like, wait, what? Yeah. Like me and my uncle are Texans, like Taker? It's like, I'm like, And with how long it was black, I'm like, who else would it be? Yeah.
In order to enjoy it is to live in that moment, though. It's just to allow yourself to live in that moment of the minute you hear that sound effect and the lights go out, to allow yourself to be in that moment of, oh my God, this is actually happening right now.
Yeah, we know WWE likes to pull mind tricks on us, and there was part of me, Mercado, that thought Cody was going to lose. It's there.
That's
and
great storytelling.
It is, and, you know, so many kickouts, so many, it's like, you know, if this was 5 years ago or 10 years ago now, you know, people would be like, oh my God, that's no selling, but in this, the drama just works so well, and you can tell this is the Triple H era, because I'll take this to my grave. The reason Cody Rhodes lost last year was Vince McMahon saying, you went somewhere else to get over without my help. F you.
I would say, I don't know if it's as specific as the WrestleMania match that he declared that. I would say it's, okay, I'm giving you a lot of money. I've signed you to this contract. I'm feeding you to the wolves. It's, you started a new company. You go prove it. And Cody became, what was the old saying, from undesirable to undeniable? I think that was real life. I think that was definitely a real life thing where, however vindictive Vince McMahon was and is, because we know he has to be. Like, yes. There's just, I don't know how specific he is to sabotage his business, but we do know he is willing to sabotage his own business. So, but we don't want to talk about that creep because that ruined a great WrestleMania, because yes. That was from a past time and TKO can move forward.
The thing is, I will say this main event and more that moment of Cody holding the gold, I think it's up there with when Kofi won the belts.
Yeah, and with Daniel Bryan and with some other these moments, like the moments that you think of when you're thinking of WrestleMania. I want to add some notes since we're bringing up some certain names. Vince McMahon selling over $100 million worth of his stockhold, his shares, from TKO back to them. So even less power now, even less interaction with Vince McMahon.
Them off
the
entirely.
Best. Get yes. rid of him. Like, that's great. And for people talking about the Seth Rollins coming out from the Shield, because for a second there, I'm like, there's no way Jon Moxley, Dean Ambrose is coming. Like, but for half a second, you allow yourself. But for those saying it doesn't make sense, if, again, you want to go down the rabbit hole and talk about something that happened instead of season one, this time in season eight, where Seth essentially said, I'll be your Shield. He alluded to the Shield. He alluded to that concept of him and Roman's past of the Shield. So for that, and what he did at Royal Rumble, where the only time Roman lost the match in a 1-on-1 was the DQ when Seth came out in his Shield stuff.
I was so hoping Seth was going to wear the Shield gear in the match, the tag match, but I'm glad we got in the main event.
So I also wanted to make another few notes too as well, because we talked about Damian Priest. Damian Priest in the press conference mentioned that he was homeless about 10 years ago. So to see him go from being homeless to world champion, absolutely amazing. And after that win from Cody Rhodes, I wrote this on social media. After WrestleMania weekend, a wrestling fan season finale, Super Bowl, Oscars, Grammys, WWE end the night with 3 Latino world champions. That is awesome. There was so much representation in these two shows. There was something for everybody. Whether you are somebody who loves work rate, storytelling, the spectacle, or you're somebody who loves the high drama in theater, or you're somebody who loves all of it, a little bit of everything, wants a taste of all these different things in your meal. WrestleMania 40, night 1 and 2, I think delivered. So I don't know if we want to give grades or ratings. I will just say this. When I look back at WrestleMania 40, I'm going to have fond memories and remembering, enjoying watching 2 nights of something I love watching. And all of us, if you're listening to this on some level, love watching. And that's pro wrestling.
Yes, it's definitely had that thing for everyone. I know people who hated night 1 who love night 2. Definitely a way to work it out. They definitely really hammered home with the storytelling, especially in that both main events, and you had to because that was the biggest story. WWE confirmed it. They had to call an audible. And for a company that had to call an audible and still put on one hell of a show, it proves you know what you're doing. Because let's be real here. They had to call an audible at, what, WrestleMania 32? And we don't talk about that WrestleMania.
There's plenty of moments where we've seen WWE try to call an audible, and it just, they fall on their face. And there's so many times that we've seen them ignore the fans and just refuse to call an audible. And it ended up even worse.
Exactly here. And this is, another sign Vince McMahon's gone. Because trust me, it would have been a million times different, as we saw with Goldberg beating The Fiend, RIP Bray Wyatt. But definitely this WrestleMania, just it really hit home, Mercado. It definitely had all the stuff you want to see there. You'll find what you like, you know. There was that storytelling, that drama that you could, so many people thought Cody could still lose. And it's, how would you do this again? How do you mess up the main event twice? WWE's been known to do that here. But, I mean, was this the greatest WrestleMania? No. But is this one that, you know, the good outweigh the bad? Absolutely. You're not going to be talking about how Jimmy and Jay fell flat. I mean, you know, everyone's going to be talking about how Cody Rhodes finished the story and won that big, ugly gold belt that I don't like. I don't know why they made that one gold backplate, but we're stuck with that for at least 10 years. Maybe he'll bring back an old school one in honor of his dad. I don't know.
Well, we'll wait to see how sales go or when they need more replica toys, because they know this company knows one thing, that's know how to sell merchandise. But it was a fun WrestleMania weekend. Also, if you're in the mood for just wrestling, check out all the other wrestling from AEW, Ring of Honor, TNA.
It's Impact.
No, it's TNA now. They rebranded.
They
yeah, they rebranded. And of course, WWE. But if you're also just in the mood for WWE stuff, check out all the awesome documentaries. They've been releasing some great stuff behind the scenes of what happened in this main event of WrestleMania. And of course, the Bray Wyatt documentary. So it's a great time to be a wrestling fan. But we want to know your thoughts. What did you think about WrestleMania 40? We're all over the universe. We're on Twitter at SportsCubicleTV. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube and leave a comment. We want to know what you thought about both nights of WrestleMania over at The Sports Cubicle. And of course, wherever you get your favorite podcast, at Sports From The Couch, The Sports Cubicle. He's Devin Tingle. I'm Mike Mercado. We love pro wrestling.
Support your small local indie wrestling companies.